The Tea Health Show, your medical lifestyle podcast, brought to you by The Tea Clinic.
Good morning, I'm Dr. Mark. This is The Tea Health Show. And today we have two special guests. Let me introduce my cohort, Sister Elise.
Good morning.
And then we have a new producer, Jack.
Good morning.
Jack, sorry, I said to you I can't pronounce your surname. You are our new producer. Sims has moved on to the Cliff Central platform.
Yes, sir.
With Gareth and them. And we are staying here on the Podcast Party platform.
And I am delighted that you are. Thank you very much.
Welcome to our show. It's usually quite a lot of fun. And we're starting with an interesting topic. And then our guest on the show today is one of the patients that was brave enough to volunteer, literally volunteer. We didn't coerce him.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, you know what he said to me last week or 2 weeks ago. Let me introduce him. His name is Neil Sears. He's one of the patients at the Tea Clinic. Neil, good morning.
Morning, doctor.
So, you know what? You came into the office 2 weeks ago and you said, you know what, you want to ask some questions on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I said yes, and now I'm slightly apprehensive because I have no idea what you're going to ask. So let's fall straight into it.
Okay, so yeah, good morning and thank you for this opportunity. So my questions to you are quite interesting. So recently on Instagram and that, I've been having these feeds on like male sex and how to last longer during sex and that there's exercises that you can do and whatever. So I just thought, what's the validity of those type of exercises? Like, do they work and that? And then it started, like, I started questioning a couple of things, like what is premature ejaculation? How long should a man last during sex? And those are my questions.
It depends on how pretty he is. So, you know what? Actually, if we talk about premature ejaculation, it's one of the most common causes of sexual dysfunction. Now, Elisa, it was a couple of weeks ago where we spoke about sexual dysfunction in men. Mm. So, Jack, what is sexual dysfunction?
From my
experience,
unknowledgeable point of view, I guess it would be a hindrance in how sex is had. So, from start to finish, whether it be the inability to have an erection or, as our guest just mentioned, premature ejaculation. I think it's sexual dysfunction is all of the things that come into play when you're trying to have a healthy sex life and there's some sort of hindrance in there.
Yeah, you're actually right. Let's quickly recap. Sexual dysfunction, the inability to have satisfactory sexual relationships. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of causes. To address sexual dysfunction effectively, you have to diagnose the underlying cause. So if we look at the causes, Sister Elise, do you want to run through?
I think we must just start with the different sexual dysfunctions before we look at causes.
The different types of sexual dysfunction.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, sorry, you know what, again, I'm on medication, guys, sorry. I'm a little bit slow, slower than usual.
So low interest or low sexual interest or low libido is where it starts. Men used to always think it's just about the act. But what about the things that go before that?
True.
And that's the important part that we need to address first. Because I think most of men's sexual dysfunction starts at the beginning. Remember we spoke about the peak in the sexual desire, in the sexual response cycle of men. Men peak with their sexual response cycle, where woman is more linear. Now, if there's no interest, if there's no libido, if all of those things don't start, then you can't reach Mm-hmm. Any peak in your sexual
so,
cycle.
So, you know, with men, I agree to you to a certain point. Sexual interest desire disorder, where sex becomes less important. So, you know, what you're not thinking about.
Yeah.
Arousal disorder, where you cannot achieve an orgasm.
Yeah.
Or where you cannot achieve an erection, achieve or maintain an erection, will have a negative effect on your interest and desire. So, Neil, do you like to talk in front of people on a stage?
Not really.
Okay. What would you do to avoid it?
Yeah.
Almost everything.
Yeah, pretty much
okay.
everything.
So, let's say you don't like live performances and I say that you have to go and have sex on stage while other people are watching. Or, you know what, that might be a problem.
That is a problem.
So, but you know what, if you're not into that, if it's not pleasurable, if it makes you feel anxious, you're going to start avoiding it. Am I right?
Yeah.
So therefore, erectile dysfunction can cause an interest and a desire disorder. Now, it can also cause other problems like premature ejaculation. And then we have our orgasmic disorder, Elise. Mm-hmm. So
that's the what do you call it now?
Premature ejaculation, where I ejaculate too quickly or protracted or retarded ejaculation. That's when you're slogging away, your hands are numb, your arms are numb, and your partner is smoking and, you know, but reading the magazine thinking, I'll just get it over with.
Right.
So your orgasmic disorders, and then we get the pain disorders. Mm-hmm. Now, all of those feed into one another. So, you know what, when it comes to premature ejaculation specifically, we need to define what premature ejaculation is. Mm. Now, the textbooks say that premature ejaculation is if you achieve an orgasm without wanting to sooner than you anticipated. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, again, if you take a look at the DSM-4, DSM-5 classification of premature ejaculation, sexual dysfunction, it's usually if you...
just for context, the DSM-4 and 5 is a mental disorder.
It's for psychiatric disorders.
Book for medical professionals.
Okay.
So, if you orgasm within a minute, you have mild premature ejaculation. If it happens within the first 30 seconds, you know what, you have moderate. And you know what, when it happens before you're even properly in, and we're specifically talking about intercourse, okay? Mm-hmm. You know what, you have severe premature ejaculation. Now, premature ejaculation can be acquired or it can be lifelong. Acquired means you've had normal sex lasted a normal amount of time, and you know it suddenly we're starting to ejaculate far quicker than we want to.
But what is a normal amount of time? That's one of my questions.
It depends on whether you want to do a quickie or where you're making Sunday afternoon love to your partner. You know what I always say, for me, there's a difference between making love and having sex. You know what, in my heyday, you know what, having a quickie in passing on the kitchen table could take 2 minutes. You know what, and on a Sunday afternoon or whatever, it can take 4 hours. Sure. It really depends.
You know
that there's far more to sex than just intercourse.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, well, I'm for me, in any case, 4 hours. No, really.
It seems like a chore. Like 4 hours.
Remember, again, in my opinion, all of you guys were immediately thinking of 4 hours of fucking intercourse.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I think.
Well, that's what you guys.
That was that was my immediate assumption.
Okay. And so that's why. If anyone can do it for that long, you know, they, yeah. Wow.
Yes.
You know, but they may actually have a problem. They might have priapism.
Mm-hmm.
So what's normal is specific to that encounter.
And one premature ejaculation doesn't mean you have a problem.
No, premature ejaculation needs to happen more than 70%, 75% of the time. Mm. So you can have episodic premature ejaculation. And if we look at the causes of this, you'll understand why it can be episodic. Mm. It can be something that develops because of an underlying condition. So often when men start developing erectile dysfunction, where they can't maintain an erection, they start speeding up their thought processes, you know what, I need to finish this before it fails.
Mm.
Mm.
But that leads often to an unsatisfactory experience on the part of a partner. So now you have to communicate about this and work around it. So, you know what, maybe go for round two. Use toys, oral sex, role play, something, you know, it's not, and I think this is what people need to get out of their minds. It's not about having coitus.
Mm.
Sex is so much more than just having coitus. You can have a very, very satisfactory sex life without having to penetrate. So, and it also forms part of treatment for premature ejaculation.
Yeah.
But Sister Elise can tell you more about that one.
That's what I wanted to ask. So of this thing, so I find it pretty interesting what you're telling me, because I didn't realize that it's this, that premature ejaculation is the same thing as what I was asking. My original question is like, how long should a man last during penetration, like during sex? So I didn't realize
until
that premature
your partner
ejaculation.
Orgasms.
Okay.
That's
oh,
the
hold
answer.
On, hold on. Let's just stop there. Sister Elise, if we say that we have to treat all women who battle with achieving vaginal orgasms, because remember, the great majority of women will not achieve an orgasm through penetration.
Why not?
Alone.
Why not?
Guys are too small? Or they're doing it wrong?
Yeah.
Because she hasn't learned how to achieve a vaginal orgasm. And how do you learn?
Practice, practice, practice.
Exactly. Exactly.
So how much
of
it
doesn't help if your practice session only lasts a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But exactly, not 4 hours.
Well, don't you like multiple orgasms?
I do, but that's not on discussion here.
But so in preparation for this, obviously I asked a couple of my mates for some questions and what they thought. So
most of
the jokes came out. Yeah, all the jokes came out like, you're going to give her the full 30 seconds. Sprints, like, aren't girls more interested in speed than marathons and those type of jokes? So, and
that's
then it made me also ask, like, how much
like
of this is mental and how much of it is physical as well? Because you also see things on the market like numbing creams for guys. So would you use a numbing cream? And then obviously if you're using a numbing cream, you're taking away the physical aspect of it because you're not feeling anything, I'd assume. And it would have to be a mental orgasm. And I thought that guys are more physical than girls are. are mental and guys are physical. Mental. So they orgasm.
Girls are mental.
Emotional.
So,
the word emotional.
But if you think girls are mental, you should see the gays. So I think we need to take a look at the prevalence of premature ejaculation.
Okay, can we go one step back?
Mm-hmm.
What Neil said just triggered something in with me. When men talk around about this, and they usually, or I assume this, they don't talk about the feelings in this, the real, real feelings.
Yeah, absolutely.
During,
it's a joke.
Yeah.
So men will often say, I don't have feelings about this. This is a task or a thing that I need to do, rah, rah, rah.
Mm.
Is that a thing in a conversation?
Yeah,
between the jokes.
Yeah, it is. I think, well, at least with some of the friends that I have, we kind of step over the emotional part of it.
Why?
It's I don't know. For a long time, a lot of us thought of it as just it's a mechanical thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's your body coming into contact with someone else's body. We would gauge success by whether or not she has an orgasm,
okay.
Which is not always clear, by the way.
No.
Whether it's a real orgasm or if it was faked or anything like that. And the emotional aspect of things, we feel like we cover that outside of the bedroom in terms of sex. Like it's just, it would be a conversation between you and your partner about how you feel that day perhaps or whatever. But
yeah.
The emotion and sex in one conversation, and I could be wrong, but amongst guys,
but it doesn't pop up. If you're around your mates and you're at a bra, you're never going to be like, hey, guys, yes, I lost like 20 seconds. And
yep.
you want to be a man, so you're going to be like, yes, I punished her. Like, I gave her the full 4 hours.
Right.
And that's what you're going to act like.
Yeah.
And the truth.
Why do men need to do that? That's my question.
Our sense of manliness lies in our willies. The bigger it is, the longer it lasts, the harder it is, the more I can show it off, you know what, the more of a man I am. Sorry, you know what. Am I right, guys?
Yeah, that's like, especially from my upbringing. Like, I come from, we were talking about like an older generation of people where things for us were very different to like now where it's all selfies and everything is public. And like for us, it was all
in your mind.
In your mind, and you spoke about it with friends at a bra and with a beer.
If you couldn't find your father's scope, you had to imagine.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So
you didn't have, you couldn't get videos
on your phone. Yeah.
So don't you think, and this is my question, don't you guys think that's where the problem starts then for men?
I think so. Because at the end of the day, a lot of the decisions we made were as a result of a lack of knowledge and understanding about what plays into your entire sexual experience. For the most part, we think to ourselves, foreplay starts like with touching certain places, perhaps fellatio, and then straight into penetration. And once you're done, you're done, right? Mm. And I think that's the root cause of the problem, a lack of information and spaces where these kind of conversations can be had in a safe way,
mm-hmm.
where if I bring up the fact that I only lost 2 minutes, that I won't be ridiculed or judged and that kind of stuff. Because amongst us as men, you know, I'm sorry to say this, but steel sharpens steel, right? And I don't personally want a pushover for a friend. And if we're going to have these kind of conversations and I say maybe I lost 2 minutes and he's like, no, you need to do something different. I can't be looking at that from an emotional point of view. I need to hear it as information that I need to make my life better. But if we're too emotional about things, the conversation ultimately devolves into this, I'm just sad. I'm I'm this wimp of a man. Instead of us pointing out to one another, hey, man, there's ways to fix this. And if we're too emotional about it, I don't think we get there.
So the moment that you shed light on something that's taboo, in other words, something that's clandestine, the moment that you shed light on it, all the misconception starts falling away. And for such a long time, still now, people are afraid to talk about these things. I think on shows like ours, where we speak about it openly, allows people to hear it, start thinking about it, and therefore starting to ask questions. Sex is important. It forms a really, really important role in our physical, our mental well-being, and in the well-being of relationships. Now, the key to treating any kind of sexual dysfunction is communicating, number one, with your partner, being honest and open about it. Because if you do not, your sexual dysfunction or your partner's sexual dysfunction will cause sexual dysfunction in you. The biggest cause of sexual dysfunction in someone is sexual dysfunction in their partner.
Wow.
So understanding the different types of sexual dysfunction, it's not just about the inability to have an erection. For women, it's not just about I'm not interested. It's so much more. And if you do not understand what is the original cause of sexual dysfunction, your treatments fail. That simple. If we look at the prevalence of premature ejaculation, 1 in 3 men between the ages of 18 and 60 have premature ejaculation. So it's common. It really, really is common. Causes of sexual or premature ejaculations are multifold. You know, it can be, and in the majority of cases, it is psychological. So anxiety around the act of sex with, for instance, a new partner or something like that. If there was trauma, or especially sexual trauma, whether you have been abused or whether you have abused someone. Think about, you know what, guys or someone who is abusing a girl sexually in a park. It needs to happen quickly. So premature ejaculation starts coming in. So you understand where that's coming from. It's not only the people that are abused, but also the people that abuse that can have sexual dysfunction. Certain types of medication, stimulants that you are taking can cause premature ejaculation. As we said earlier, erectile dysfunction, where you cannot get or maintain an erection long enough for intercourse, you're going to start trying to ejaculate quicker. So again, understanding where this is coming from, when you investigate premature ejaculation, you start with taking a medical history, and then you start taking a sexual history. When did this start? When did you start getting sexually active? How many partners do you have? When does it happen? Does it only happen when you were someone new? Is it happening all the time with your existing partner? Is it happening while you are masturbating? Etc., etc. So, again, understanding the underlying psychological conditions is really important. And when you have all of that in place, now you can start thinking of different treatment modalities, whether it's cognitive behavioral therapy, or whether it's psychotherapy, whether it's exercises that you do, whether it's techniques that you employ, whether it's numbing agents over the counter, whether it becomes prescription stuff, whether it becomes psychotropic drugs, etc., etc. So, you know what? Again, having a good understanding of where it is how you approach this. And the cornerstone of this is I have to communicate. I have to communicate to my partner. My partner has to be involved in the examination as well as in the treatment.
But so here's my next question, okay? So once again, I go back to like old...
You're giving away our age.
Yeah, but so what I'm trying to say is like I come from a Christian family, and so in obviously in the Christian way, you should wait till you're married and whatever.
Otherwise, you will have hairy palms.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's like so how many desperately unhappy wives must be out there? Like imagine you wait until marriage, which I wish I did, but. Like you wait until marriage, then on that special night, the guy comes in 10 seconds and she's like, is this what it is? Is this what I've been waiting for?
Well, he could have been very, very excited.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I always make the joke and say, what is the similarities between teenage sex and hide and seek? Anyone?
Takes longer to find.
No, 1, 2, 3, ready or not, here I come. Yeah. So, you know, if it was that, you know what, first experience, you know what, the guy might have been, fuck, I've been waiting for this for my life. She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And you know what, boom. Oh shit, what now?
So marry an ugly chick and then maybe you'll be out of it.
But I mean, to me, in the example you just gave, in an ideal world, you would marry someone you can easily have a conversation with, right?
Mm.
By the time you get married, if you guys can't have an open, honest conversation, I'm not even sure that you should be married in the first place.
So, you know what you should have done in that case is... While she goes and showers and changes into that lovely little negligee, she beat one off quickly.
You rather quick one out.
So it's part of a treatment. You know, it's a recognized treatment modality that you have an orgasm and then wait until you can get another erection. And... That should prolong the duration because you a little bit more less sensitive. Some of that pent-up energy is already expended. But the problem is there's so few guys that can go for round two nowadays within a short period of time. Mm. Now, Elise and I always smile, and you know where I'm going with this. If we look at the different cultures... So, boys, tell us if this is true.
Mm-hmm.
Black women expect round two always. Am I right?
Yep.
Okay.
Aidan told us this.
So it's very interesting when I treat sexual dysfunction for black guys in my office. They don't complain about round one. They say, round two, I'm battling. With the white guys, it's... You know, I can't get it up. Never mind for round two. I can't get it up for round one.
Mm.
So.
But is that the norm or is it a perception?
I don't know. I can do it a couple of times. So, Neil, again, you know, I live in a completely different culture.
4 hours.
So, with white straight guys, is it... Round one, take a nice break, have a little nap, then round two? Or is it like you guys, round two, have a glass of water, and round one, glass of water, round two?
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I think that it would just depend on, like you're saying, what's the occasion? Is it a quickie or we... Yeah, okay. For Sunday lunch or...
It's a smorgasbord. So let's take a look at treatment modalities. You asked, you saw on the web or on Instagram that there are these exercises that you can do. Do you want to describe some of them?
So what I read is like, and I don't really understand it too much, but it like kind of described that you, like if you're holding in a pee, you like squeeze.
Okay, so you're talking about Kegel exercise.
Yeah, yes, that was the word.
Okay, and then, where you strengthen the pelvic floor muscles.
Yeah, and they're like some type of exercise like that. So I'd assume that if you...
Can you do them?
I can do it while I sit here. I can feel it if you pull it. But I mean,
Are you pulling on the right muscle?
I don't know. I think so. Okay. It must be because it's...
So doing a pelvic exercise, and Sister Elise can actually tell us here a little bit more about them. So the pelvic floor is like a hammock.
Yes.
And you need to be able to tighten the hammock. So if you feel... It's some way midway between your balls and your anus.
Mm-hmm. And we call it your chummy.
Yeah. You're right.
So it's somewhere midway between them. And it's like trying to hold in a very big fart or when you have diarrhea and you have to clench.
Mm-hmm.
So it's somewhere there. Or if you try and stop urinating midstream. Okay, a lot of guys can't do that. When you start peeing, you can't cut it off.
Can I add something? You know you do it effectively when there's movement in the penis.
And in your scrotum.
In your scrotum. Okay. That's not when you know you do it effectively. Mm. And the aim is... to do that exercises that you get movement in your penis. As you start with these exercises, you won't
And you're not talking about an erection. No, it's literally the penis.
It's just
lifting
a little bit.
Mm.
That is when you know it's effective. Is so, that clenching and my penis is moving, or yours, not mine, and then relax.
Yeah.
I do mine in the shower. I see how far I can pull up my balls. By just using my pelvic muscles. Try it. Mm. Stand in the shower when they're hanging nice and loose and see how far you can pull them back up towards the body.
So that's do that as an exercise to like stop yourself and so that you could last longer?
But it takes time. It takes time to develop muscles, just like you're going to the gym.
Yeah.
It's not one rep of a bicep curl and suddenly you look like Schwarzenegger. It takes months and weeks to start developing that muscle. The nice thing is you can do them anywhere, anytime, just do them properly.
Mm.
So again, picture, and you should feel your scrotum moving up and, you know, it's as if you elongate the perineum.
Mm.
So
you
start with a series of five where you pull or you tighten that muscle for about 4 seconds, release for four, and repeat. And you do them in sets of five. And eventually you need to be able to do them for about 10 seconds, 10 repetitions. Now, try, just like doing a bicep curl, you're going to find that if your pelvic floor muscles aren't strong, you're not going to be able to hold it for 10 times 10 seconds.
Mm.
You will feel, okay, that's fatigue. So it's something that you can exercise. So Kegel exercise is definitely one of them. Doing exercises for the core, planking, etc., helps with the core muscles. So you have support in the buttocks, you have support in the
lower abdominal
muscles. In other words, the muscles between that fold under your belly button and your penis.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the mons. No.
Mons pubis, yes.
So, you know what? It strengthens all those muscles. You will also find that you ejaculate stronger. Remember when you were young? You know what? It's if you were lying on your back, you had to either close your eyes or duck. So now it's maybe more of a dribble. So, you know what? The amount of semen that we ejaculate also becomes a little bit less. If those muscles aren't strong, you know what? You have that post-ejaculation dribbling where it just keeps on dribbling out. So you will see all of that improve when you do these exercises. Then during sex, what do we do? I'm coming into penetrate, or I'm starting to penetrate, and oh my God, it's going to be a mess. There are techniques that you do. The one is the pinch technique, where you literally hold the penis, you squeeze tightly, and you should feel that the sensation starts diminishing. I think all boys have done that repeatedly when we masturbate. So, oh, it's nice. I'm going to come and squeeze, and then you can go again. You know what? What do we call it now again?
No, I don't know that.
If Dante was here, he would have been able to tell us.
I don't know that word. I'm now very interested. Come.
Oh my God.
No, sorry.
Okay. It will come to me. And then there is the technique where you stop-start. Stop-start. And it's something that you practice. It's something that you practice with your partner. So, you know what? This is quite intense and can be very, very pleasurable. So your partner or yourself starts stimulating your penis, and as you feel that, you know what, it's you close to ejaculation, they stop. And then, you know what, once the sensation has diminished, they start again and stop and start and stop. And then they allow you to ejaculate, or you allow yourself to ejaculate. And when you do this, if you exercise this, you know, you learn how to control not only the emotional side, in other words, the psychological effect, which is most common, but you strengthen the muscles. So it becomes a form of neuroplasticity where you retrain the pleasure center in the brain how to do this. So, you know, it can be a nice thing to do. It can also be exquisite torture for guys. So, you know, practice that with your partner.
I mean, that's how I used to try make things last for a while. Like the moment I'd feel, okay, we're about to get to the end, I'd like try switch positions, you know what I mean? Take my time, focus on something else. So if I was penetrating at that point in time, I'd stop and then maybe perform fellatio on her, or
yes, you know, be interesting.
Yes, do something different other than just the penetration, and the sensation would then subside a little bit, and then I know I can go back at it.
I wish more people would experiment with sex.
Yeah.
You know what? I think for someone with premature ejaculation, having to lie on a bed, whether you restrain them or not, and you stimulate them, and you know what? If you make a game out of it, you know, there's a penalty if you come too soon. So we're going to practice and practice and practice. You know what? It's not just about penetration. Wham, bam, thank you. I'm done.
Yeah.
So it happened to one of my girlfriends. We have a guy who was very excited to be with her. Literally started roaring in her ear within the first couple of a minute or two. I don't know exactly how long. And fell asleep. So the next time, she actually invited him over and with a little bit of a revenge thing. And as he started, she tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Thank you, I'm done, you can go." And it was like, what? So, sorry, I'm done. So last time you had all the fun.
Yeah.
Now for me, the funness was telling you that I'm done. So, you know, you can play that game. Okay. So let's think about treatment modalities. You spoke about creams and stuff, numbing creams and numbing sprays that decrease the sensation. It works well. Works well. I sometimes give it to some of my patients. You even have condoms labeled cum control. With a mild topical anesthetic. So you can use those. Just a word of caution. If you're going to use a numbing cream and if you don't wash it off properly, you're going to numb your partner. So number one, it's bitter. And number two, you're going to be slogging away because you decrease her sensation as well. So if you are going to use one of these products, just make sure that you wash it off properly. Otherwise, you create a decreased sensation for your partner as well. So ask me, I know what numb lips feel like. So, but you know, but there are... over-the-counter as well as prescription products that is a topical numbing agent that you can use. From prescription medications, again, we need to understand the underlying cause. Is it maybe because of erectile dysfunction? Is it because of a mental problem? Is it a psychiatric disease like depression or anxiety or trauma? And if it is depression and anxiety, am I on medication that can create premature ejaculation? But there are some of the medications like your SSRIs. Here we thinking specifically of the old Prozacs, fluoxetine, Arapex. Which one is that?
I don't know the ethical names like you do, pharmaceutical names.
So, some prescription medication, which we prescribe to patients, which delays and decreases libido, delays sensitivity, etc., etc. Hormones. An excess amount of testosterone will cause premature ejaculation or can cause premature ejaculation. In our practice, we see it from time to time where we start treating guys with low levels of testosterone. And as the testosterone starts peaking where we want it, you know what, initially they report a little bit of, you know what, I have phenomenal hard-ons. I'm having phenomenal sex. It's just a little bit quick. So, but most of them have the ability then, because they have better erectile functioning, to go for round two, round three. So, and then it's a little bit better. But that's self-limiting. You know what?
It's a short period.
Neil,
of time,
when
yeah.
we started you on testosterone, did you experience that or not?
Not really, no. I think, yeah, just, I mean, my overall fitness and everything's gone up, so everything's better. So that's...
Okay. So the prescription medications, speak to your healthcare provider. It's not something that I would do right off the bat, I think it really would be a last resort.
Mm-hmm.
I will start with my pelvic floor exercises. I will communicate with my partner. I will employ different sexual techniques and sexual positions and sex play, and especially intimacy play. You know, it's not about sex or sexual stimulation. It's just about being together, being intimate with one another, touching, etc., etc. The techniques, like the stop-start technique, the squeeze or pinch technique, would work quite well. You know what? Then maybe the topical numbing creams or the condoms. Just a normal condom. If you battle with premature ejaculation, just using a condom can decrease the sensation. And, you know what, then for me, a last resort, prescription medications. I often use regenerative therapy for guys with premature ejaculation. And here we're thinking of the two that I employ in our practice, platelet-rich plasma therapy and bioelectrical stimulation. So the bioelectrical stimulation, we do it in a slightly different technique, where instead of putting it on the shaft of the penis, we would often involve the perineum. Mm-hmm. Elise does it quite often with women, where we strengthen the perineal muscles with this. So for the guys, you can use some of the your electrode devices from your adult store. You just have to make sure that you use it correctly, so that you don't damage the skin. And it's not about, you know what, feeling pain or, you know what, it's a slight stimulation of that pelvic muscle. So that could work quite well.
I also read that somewhere along the line that they inject Botox into a penis too.
So we use neuromodulators like Botox to treat erectile dysfunction, not to treat sensation. So you're not going to decrease sensation with a neuromodulator if you use it correctly. If you do, neuromodulators work on muscle. It doesn't work on the nerve. So what it does is it stops the conduction of a nerve impulse to the muscle by blocking the neuromuscular junction. So it has an effect on the muscle, not on the
nerve.
It
doesn't numb the nerve.
So it you're not going to get a numbing effect from that, because then all the majority of women in the northern suburbs of Johannesburg will walk around and you can stick needles into their faces without them feeling. So, no. Neuromodulators like Botox and Dysport and Xeomin, if you're going to inject it into the penis, you're going to relax the smooth muscle around the blood vessels, creating vasodilatation, so better blood flow into the penis. It's new. It's a new form of treatment as an add-on modality or as a last resort because of the price for erectile dysfunction. It's not you're going to numb the penis with that. No. Neuromodulators are expensive. There are very few practitioners in South Africa that I know of, except myself, that are treating erectile dysfunction with neuromodulators. In fact, I don't know of anyone else. You know what? It's not recognized as a treatment yet, although there are a couple of studies and personal experience that I have in my practice, but does help for erectile dysfunction. So, Neil, more questions or are you done?
So, I think you've pretty much answered them, but, also, alcohol. So, I've also read some places that alcohol could lead to you coming quicker, but I find that it helps
delay.
So yeah. Is that because it relaxes you a bit more, or you?
Well, you know what? Again, I think it's situational.
Mm.
If you are, in a bar, you're picking up someone, it's exciting, you had a couple of drinks, inhibitions are down, wham bam, oop, I'm done. You know, but why? Because, you know, you might be doing it in a toilet stall or in the car park quickly. So there's the excitement, etc., etc. Alcohol being both a stimulant in lower quantities and then a depressant in higher quantities, it really, I think, is situational. Mm-hmm. I haven't come across any kind of specific study where they looked at the effect of alcohol on premature ejaculation itself. We know that if you drink too much, you know, dehydration, central nervous suppression, et cetera, plays a role. You know what? Alcohol is going to lower the inhibitions. So, you know what? You do feel more horny, or the opportunity is a little bit more. But it suppresses the nervous system. So stimulation needs to happen. You know, it's so often guys say, yeah, you know, I couldn't get hard, I was too drunk. So, you know, that can indirectly cause premature ejaculation there, where you're trying and trying, oh, you know what, let me just try and come and get it over with. Smoking that causes damage to the blood vessels, damage to the nerve tissue, is a contributing factor to decreased erectile strength. And indirectly, as we said, erectile dysfunction can lead to acquired premature ejaculation.
I actually found the complete opposite when it comes to alcohol. I don't know if they were being honest or not, right? But all the people I know, all the men at least that I know that drink and then have sex, I've never heard of anyone complaining about premature ejaculation when they've been drinking. More often than not, it's, look, man, I was in there forever. I just couldn't come. It just took... It was on and on and on and on.
Because you press the nervous system.
Yeah. So
to get an erection, and Elise can give us a little bit more detail about the process. It's number one, stimulation of the brain.
Yes.
So you need either a visual cue or you need a sensory, in other words, a touch thing. Now that stimulates a center in the brain, if I'm not mistaken, it's the hypothalamus. To release hormones that now act on blood flow into the penis. So we have to dilate blood vessels, and then certain blood vessels have to close so that we can keep the blood that's flowing into the penis there. So, you know what, it's multifactorial, and if you suppress one pathway, like with alcohol, you know, things start going wrong. So does that answer your question?
It really does. Thank you.
Okay. So we have 5 minutes left for closing arguments. Jack,
but was your first the show. Sexual dysfunction thing, was it just premature ejaculation that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, it's been pretty interesting because I actually didn't realize it all tied in.
Let's ask the question.
Yeah.
How long do you guys last on average?
Well, that was one of my questions.
No. I asked the question, so we expect an answer. So
it depends.
Look how red he's blushing. You guys can see my camera.
Yeah.
So firstly, my wife's a 10 out of 10, so she's flipping hot. So that's one problem there. Second is
she can blindfold. No, that's it's going to make it worse.
I'll keep her away from the optometrist because she'll see this. But so it just depends. Like, if there's a lot of foreplay or whatever, sometimes I find that you can get turned on yourself from the foreplay, and then by the time you penetrate, it's quick because she's already done, and it doesn't last long, to be honest with you. But if you just go straight in, then I don't know, maybe 2-3 minutes.
Yeah, not too far from that. Like about, a good 5, 6, 7 minutes.
Feels like there. 10 minutes, but if you look at the watch, it's like a disappointment.
It doesn't feel like 10 minutes for Ben. I can tell you.
Yeah, because it's not like we've got a stopwatch next to the bed, right? Like, but somewhere within that ballpark, about 5 to 10 minutes on average, yeah.
So, guys, I think what you've described is vital to understand. Porn available everywhere.
Mm.
And you know what? If you take a look at a porn video, some of them are an hour or something, and these guys just have these enormous erections that are always hard, and they just keep on going and going and going and going.
Yeah.
That's not real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, especially for younger people,
I think
who get their sex education from watching porn, from watching TV, you know what, Elise and I always want to laugh when you watch a TV show and they both achieve orgasm at exactly
the same time,
standing up against the fridge, and you know it's not realistic.
Yeah.
And
it's not to say you mustn't try that.
Well,
but I think that's the problem with the younger generation is that like they've got access to all of that, and it just sets them up for disappointment, because I think that the reality versus the fantasy is two very different things.
And like overindulgence in it kind of hurts your pleasure centers, right?
Porn addiction.
Yeah.
Horrible. It's horrible. It's really difficult to come back from that.
So like the dopamine receptors, I believe, is what kind of goes
dopamine,
out of whack.
Yes, you're absolutely right, because anything visual, tactile, smell, taste that stimulates a dopamine reaction leads to a reward, motivation, repetitive behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it motivates you because there's a reward. I feel good, maybe an orgasm. And then I want to do it again. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? It's an addiction, just like heroin, cocaine, whatever. Chocolate, there's that stimulation of dopamine. Usually by now, some P would have given us philosophy. If I sneeze, guys, do apologize. Mm-hmm. So let's do a quick recap. 1 in 3 men will at some point battle with premature ejaculation. We have different types. We have acquired, in other words, you had a normal sex life, you lasted long enough so that it's satisfactory to you as well as your partner. If it starts changing, you know, it usually is treatable. There is lifelong premature ejaculation, and that means you've always ejaculated. From the first time that you masturbated to your first sexual experience, it always happens quickly. It creates psychological problems in both you and your partner. It leads to embarrassment and shame, etc., etc. So, and this can lead to body shaming, anxiety, depression, which may compound the problem. Key to treatment is talk about it. Talk about it, number one, to your partner. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge the fact. You know what? Employ the techniques that we have. Practice. You know what? And it can be hell of a lot of fun.
Kegels. Mm-hmm.
So do your Kegel exercises when you're sitting in a boring meeting, or when you're sitting in the car or watching TV. Do your Kegel exercises during sex. You know what? It could be quite fun, depending on which toys you use. And then if you feel that this is a really big problem, it's really impacting your life, you've been doing these things, it's not helping, please speak to your healthcare provider, speak to a sex therapist. There are things that we can do. Over-the-counter products like the numbing condoms, some numbing cream just before you use anything like that. Speak to your pharmacist. And then there are medication available. Usually medication that we would give for depression and anxiety can have good effect, can have nasty side effects. So chat to your healthcare provider. Sexual dysfunction is a symptom of an underlying disease. It can be cardiovascular disease that's leading to erectile dysfunction, etc., etc., diabetes, and therefore it's something that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
And then I want to say, now you can call out your Joes. In these talks, they are talking bullshit. With all the
tell them to prove it.
Yeah, prove it. They all think they're porn stars.
They are exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know what? The aim is to have porn star sex. The aim is to have porn star sex like the stuff that we did in the 60s and the 70s. You know, with those old VHS tapes? Mm-hmm. That's porn star sex, not the stuff that you see today. It's completely different. So, I'm away next week, Sister Elise.
Don't put me out there now.
Sister Elise might have a show next week. Otherwise, we will do a rebroadcast of one of the shows. If you have a specific topic or a question that you want to talk about, you can send us a message on our social media pages, either Instagram or Facebook. No, I'm looking at the time, guys. And if you want to know more about premature ejaculation, you can call us at the T Clinic on 010-824-1393, and you will find our website www.theteaclinic.com. Until next week, we wish you all good sexual practice. Have a great day, guys.
That was the Tea Health Show, empowering you with knowledge. Download all previous episodes on your favorite podcast platform. The Tea Health Show is brought to you by Tea Clinic.